Well, it's good to be back here again this evening and to share the word with you. Somebody asked me something this morning, and I thought maybe that I should tell some of you a little bit about me and us. I kind of assumed, having been around here for some time, that you just kind of knew about us. But Cinda and I went to college together. Good place to find a girl and a guy and get married, and that happened. Went to Bible college. I had just been recently saved, and I went down there to the San Francisco Bay Area to Western Baptist College. Grew up in Minnesota. I'm number 9 out of 12 kids, and working on a ranch and was going to just cowboy all my life. I got saved when I was a senior in high school and went back out to Washington to the ranch, and through the preaching of a faithful pastor in a small community, and his word, God called me into the ministry. And so I took off to El Cerrito, California, and what a deal. Somebody told me later, when I was at Bible college, my roommate was a different kind of a guy than I was. Anyway, he told somebody, he said, "You know what my roommate's got? He's got a saddle under his bed." You didn't get rid of the horse, but you keep the saddle, huh? Well, anyway, all that actually kind of went behind for many years. We pastored in Washington for 5 years, and then we were in Idaho for a while before our next ministry, and from there we went up to Canada and did mission work for about 9 years. I've always been never gone with a mission board, so I had to support ourselves up there, and Cinda did. She taught school and has always done that, so we've always been sort of self-supporting in that. Came to Marion, and it wasn't real heavy on the support, and so I've always worked there. And then after that time, I had that bad eye accident. Some of you know about that, where I lost my left eye or most of it. I can see partly out of it, and that was about the time that we resigned at Marion. And I've been doing some construction work since then. It seemed like we were going to go into another ministry. It just didn't work out, but here we are. So I still, this coming couple of weeks from now, I'll be going to Canada to do some speaking in the Canadian wilderness for a camp that I do most summers, and it's a horse packing camp. I made the mistake when I went up there to speak for them. I made the mistake of letting them know I knew how to pack. And I'm no longer the special speaker anymore up there. But anyway, that's sort of an interesting thing. I am the special speaker when I go there, but I'm other things too. So I'm just glad that God has given to us that health. And I want to say and give a special thanks to Cinda, my wife. What a wonderful woman all these years. She's been teaching, you might say, bailed us out through the years of ministry, and an excellent teacher. And what a wonderful woman to have along, and to just go where I went, and never complains. And you're just a great one, Cinda. So anyway, that's a little bit about us. We have two children. Our daughter lives in Walla Walla area now. She has twin girls, and we'll see them soon. Our son is a missionary in Southeast Asia, and he goes, he's with ABWE, and he does with the Asia Baptist Seminary there, speaks quite a bit all over Asia, teaches seminary level courses. We'll be going to see them in December if it works out, which will be good, and it's just a good thing, and it's quite a ministry that he has there, training pastors, especially in people who can come. And one of the things that you hear from those kind of missionaries, and we do hear from time to time, is the the interest that the ones have, the people who come to his studies, that he teaches college and seminary level courses, and so they get credit for them. But especially when he goes into Myanmar, that's old Burma, some of those people could be hauled off to jail at any time. And yet they come and they take these courses, and fortunately he teaches in English, because English is kind of the universal language. But it is somewhat of a challenge too, because of those things. Well, anyway, we're grateful for what God has, the way he's worked in our lives over the years, and we've been here, and I'm just thankful for that, and just glad that I could speak the word to you tonight. Maybe we'll do things a little bit differently tonight. You might have a question or something, and we can just be a little more informal this morning. Just seems like it's pretty traditional in our Baptist churches to be more informal at night. Furthermore, I think I like that as much as just preaching away, though I am kind of a motor mouth. I haven't ever had a problem with that. Well, I shouldn't say that. After I got in the ministry, I was pretty shy before. Well, let's pray, and then we'll jump into this thing. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that you preserved it for us and have provided it for us. And we thank you for the accuracy of it, and that we just have access to it. And I pray that as we live our daily lives in these times, times of trouble and distress, in the sense that we see our wonderful country degrading, and we don't always know what to do. Help us to be good citizens, always to put you first and to let your word speak to us and show us how we need to respond as things come to us in this country. And we pray, Lord, that for our country, that if it would be your will, that you'd beat back some of this stupidness and some of this evil, and return us to somewhat of a better course, and in that way that we'd always and be able to live in freedom and to teach and preach your word. So we ask these things of you in Jesus' name. Amen. What I might do is back up just a little bit. You know, I was going 90 miles an hour this morning, it seemed from what I talked to some of you that we got somewhere regarding that. And so just to review a little bit, it is important to our understanding that we understand the Bible came progressively to us. And God revealed his word progressively. It's important to know that he shut the door on it, though. And with the book of Revelation, that kind of revelation given to us is finished. Now, not everybody believes that. And some of you have probably run into people who are getting visions and dreams. And one of the things that's real common today in modern terminology is people say, well, God told me to do this, or God told me this, God told me that. And sometimes it's a put-down to you. It's a put-down in this sense that if God told me, who are you to say any different? And it might be something that's harebrained and wild, or something that isn't like that. Now, if you say God told me in the sense of God's leading, I certainly understand that. But I, in my ministry, have had people just kind of look at me and say, well, God told me to do thus and so. And God really never told you to do anything that he hasn't told me to do. He leads you personally, and he guides you. I definitely believe that. A lot of times you don't know his guiding until afterwards. Have you experienced that? There are many things about which you simply don't know what his will is, meaning an exact direction. But remember, God talks about us having our mind renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's my belief from Scripture that the major way that God works with us and in us is that as he has given us his Spirit and has transformed our mind, he wants us to make decisions. Some people want God to tell them when to tie their shoes, what color shoes to wear, and the rest of it. And they're constantly praying for that. God doesn't care if you got green shoes or red shoes, or if you drive an Oldsmobile or a Buick, or maybe he's not so interested in those Japanese cars, I don't know. But But anyway, if you understand what I'm saying, he's interested. It isn't that he isn't interested. But he didn't make, I like to use the term, he didn't make us as a bunch of battery caps sitting there that look all the same. He made a being or beings, human beings, to speak and to understand and have emotions and these kind of things and love and a will. Our problem is that we are fallen creatures and that we have sin natures, and that gets in the way, but that didn't change the fact that God hasn't wanted us to be people that he has to go around and tell, do this today and do that today and do this and do it like that and do it like this. He made human beings to have a mind and to be able to exercise it. And I believe that as we put ourselves in line with his will, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that he works through that, and sometimes we don't even know it. Now, we know it theologically, okay? We know it, and that's good to know. Practically, we're doing our lives and going through these things, and that's the way his word can work in us. So in that respect, then, we need the Bible, and we all know that I'm not telling you anything. We need the Bible as a direction, but I'll try to say this way. We don't necessarily need the Bible every minute of every day in the sense that I've got to go here and find some passage that tells me to buy the Chevy, you know? We don't need it that way. And sometimes Christians kind of get caught up in it that we need the Bible in that sense. That's why I've chosen, or partly today when I was thinking about what I would do and speak on some weeks ago, I was prepared that the pastor might have to be gone. From this perspective, from God's perspective of what he did and how we got our Bible, and how those scriptures came to us. And it is it out in our world and out in evangelicalism, there is getting to be more and more of a, I call it playing fast and loose with the scriptures. And that is that my truth, this is what I get from it, you know. Or have you ever had anybody say to you, well, my God wouldn't be like that? Well, here's the problem with that. There's only one God, and God is what he is. And it doesn't matter what you think your God is. He is what he is. And that brings us back to this Bible, which is his main revelation apart from creation. He is what he is. And we go to the Bible partly to find out things about him and what he wants us to do. And sometimes people get into this fairness doctrine. And this relates to the time factor of revelation. They get into this fairness doctrine. I don't mean the one on the airwaves. But that God can't do anything for somebody else that he doesn't do for me. Now, I'm telling you, if you run by that doctrine, you're in trouble in life. Because God can do... Actually, since people are fallen, he didn't even have to save us. And people get in this fairness doctrine, I call it the fairness doctrine view, with the idea that there's Don brought this out here, that there are some standards. Whoops. And then we have this kind of a deal in some people's minds. God and us. And God has to follow the standards, and so do we. Really, that's the way some people look at life, that there are some standards out there. And the real deal is, I wiped it on my pants, the real is, God is the standard, period. And whatever he does is right. What's that? Okay, I is the eraser. Thanks, Becky. I got one of these in my office at home, and I do that sometimes, but... So, as we look at his word, then, as far as we're concerned, most of you are aware of what we call special and revelation, which is the Bible, and natural revelation, which is what we see around us. As far as we're concerned, what we really need to know, and we can drop it down here and put God's word. You guys, this is like the laptop computer, you know what I mean? From the side, you can't see what's... I can't help it if you're all going to spread out far over there. Well, see, you can't see it over there. So everybody's in front, just gets... It's good artwork. It's really good artwork. Everybody else can see it. Well, anyway, so we really, in this respect, here's what was happening. The apostles... And we have to, and you might have questions about this, and we can discuss this. The apostles had a different kind of direct relationship to God than we do when they got the Bible. And a lot of people want to be there today. Do any of you guys know the name? Have you heard of this German evangelist in Africa? Huh? Yeah, yeah. That saved like had what? 70 million, are they saying? 70 million? I think it's 70 million saved. Well, he got the word from God, by the way, that America is not going down. He got the word from God that America's, you know, going to be saved. No, we'll leave it there. But anyway, so he's got some kind of a path to God, I guess, that I don't have. But we have to keep this in mind. So for us, we'll put it over here. Maybe in this way, and I'll just call it the apostles and the prophets. As we said this morning, by revelation, God's word came to them. Now, they spoke some of it at the time to people who received it, and God in His providence then was also writing down some of it. And remember, the Bible says that, like in John, that if all the works of Jesus were written down, the books wouldn't contain it. So He just wrote what we needed to know. Now, I know sometimes you don't think there's enough in there. You'd like to know other things, like when you want to buy the Chevy. Okay, forget it. He doesn't care if you buy the Chevy or the Ford. He really doesn't. You're big kids now. We might say that. We have a renewed mind. So the apostles came and the Word of God in that sense. I got this out of the way in a little bit. Now, we are not... We don't want to get in the Catholic thing of apostolic succession kind of a deal. We're not going through them, but His Word came to them. His Word came to them, and we'll put it here. That thing's running out. The written Word. And this written Word is our real strong pathway to knowing what God wants and has for us. Now the Holy Spirit comes in there, and then we get into another ball of wax about the transmission of the Scripture. Two arguments. One is there are people who don't believe that you need to do much study, like I do. Now I happen to be of the persuasion, as a pastor and a teacher and taught these years, I don't do a lot of applications. That is like trying to figure out how to apply it to your life. I do more of explaining and exposing what I think the Bible says. And between you and the Holy Spirit, you have to apply that. Now, sometimes they do, but to try to always figure out a direct application. So our pathway to God is the written Word. And what I explain now is we need confidence in that written Word. And part of, by knowing how God brought it to us, and because of all the attacks, we can have that confidence. So... sometimes we get into trouble because we don't take into account the revelation that's progressive. And so we get mucked up. And so you got people in certain kind of groups where they have restrictions on food, they have restrictions on days and the rest of it. Okay, then I think regarding what I said in 1 Corinthians 2, let's go there. I need to maybe shore it up a little. And if you got any questions here or something, just... pop it up. What I said this morning and what is important to understand is that Paul was constantly challenged as to where he got this information. And people who also wanted the limelight were saying, well, it's just from man or whatever. You just went over and you studied with these people or whatever. And some of you have heard the word sophistry or whatever. That there's a Greek word there, sophistry. That's what that wisdom is. That's a word for wisdom. And Paul is saying in this passage, no, I didn't get it from a person or a man. And I didn't get it on the basis of just human wisdom. I got it from God by revelation, and I also had the assistance of the Holy Spirit when I was teaching you. So when I said in 1 Corinthians 2, I said, this is what's called an editorial us or a we. Let's go at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us, that's the apostles, and he did it by his Spirit. And he makes a comparison there. The comparison is that right now, at this time, I have no way of knowing what you're thinking. And by the way, husbands and wives, you don't know what your wife's thinking either. And your wife doesn't know what the husband's thinking and so on. You have a person in there that is so... I mean, you may be acting certain behaviors that we can guess at, and we, you know, I know you like a book. You know how you can say, I know you. Okay, that's part of it. But you and your spirit knows what you are. And so Paul is making the comparison. A man's own spirit, he's the only one who knows about that. And God's own spirit is the only one who knows about God. That's what the comparison is there. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? So no other man knows it. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So what he's really saying is the spirit of man cannot know the things of God as it is and as it exists. Now, when I said that's a reference to the apostles, it is also true that in verse 12 it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the we, that's the apostles. Because this is, the context is getting the word of God. But that's also true of us. We have received the Spirit. And while we're a step down, it does take that same Spirit for us to understand that same word that they gave. They understood it by the Spirit, and they wrote it down by the Spirit's leading and guidance, and we understand it by the Spirit's leading and guidance, which is why the unsaved have a tremendous difficulty in understanding it. Then, and there's quite a theological discussion goes on out there of, well, if the Spirit does that, then what's all this study and all this other, you know, this kind of stuff? And so there are those who believe that what they need to do is just listen to the Spirit of God and they'll know the stuff. You know, you might have some thoughts on that. We'll look at some other aspects to it regarding that. But that's a common problem today. The Spirit told me, I just let the Spirit of God direct me and lead me. Doesn't matter if it's contrary to what's written. And that fits with our world, doesn't it? Our world is like there's no absolute truth, and this is my truth, and that's your truth, and something else is somebody's truth. And so people wander through life in that particular way. So when I said that this is the apostles, it doesn't cut us out of the Spirit's guidance and leading in our understanding of Scripture. We're going to go over there, just jump past inspiration a little bit, but maybe a question, or maybe you got a question about what I said about inspiration. It's so common for us, and I raced through that, to say, well, that's inspiring, or God inspired, like those were inspired men. The way we use the English language, that may be true. The way the Bible puts it, that's not true. The result of the Spirit's work and God's revealing work is that we have an inspired Bible, a God-breathed Bible, a God-produced. The best way I can think of it is we have a God-produced Bible. Now, we're not going to be able to go into the issue and the problems of translation, but we'll talk about it, you know, just a little bit, maybe in what little time that we have left. So let's jump over along with that here in just a bit. So we're in there. We are in there, but not in the sense of the Scriptures coming. And this is what Paul was doing. He's defending himself. I got this stuff from God. I passed it on from God. This is the Word of God. And that's how it came. And he says that in many places. Then he refers to that problem. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit. And that's what we're up against in evangelism. We're up against the problem of the natural man that rebels and rejects God with a certain kind of blindness. Now, it's not a blindness to the facts. Remember those Jewish Pharisees? They said something to this effect. They said that we cannot deny that a notable miracle has been done. In other words, they understood what had happened. But they said, if we let this go on, and if we let Jesus go on, the whole world will follow him. They had the information, they had the knowledge. Now, I'm a guy, a pastor, a teacher, who believes that you need the knowledge. The objective isn't just to stuff your heads full or mine, but you do need it. But I understand that the knowledge alone will not necessarily overcome that blindness. And that gets us into that concept of the Spirit's illumination and or the Spirit's teaching, which we can go on down through there. 2 Peter 1:20, that's a verse commonly used regarding the Scripture and its origin. We think of it in a different way. Verse 15, Paul says that he's, or Peter says that he's endeavoring to remind these people of these truths. And verse 16, look at what he says. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Do you know when that happened? When was he? Pardon? At the transfiguration. And the thing I want to emphasize is he's saying, this is not a bunch of junk, joke, fables that we've just compiled and put together here. And he constantly, they constantly refer to that. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard. Notice there was, that would be a direct revelation. They could pass that on. They heard the voice. Now, I have to say today, you don't hear God's voice like that. I made the comment that I don't believe there are miracles going on today, and I need to feel like I need to maybe clarify that a little bit. The miracles that were done there, almost always, it's almost 100%, I won't say 100%, there are three words connected with it: signs, wonders, and powers. That is, those events that took place, they were a sign, the Greek word simeon. They were for a purpose. They also were a wonder in that they struck and caused awe. They were like, wow, look at what happened there. And they were also a power, and the King James Version kind of mixes those words up, actually. It's not consistent. They were a power in that those events all demonstrated the awesome power of God. So this demonstration of power caused awe and wonder, and it was therefore a sign. And those kind of, and the King James often uses the word miracle there for wonder and power. It actually mixes them up a little back and forth. My point is, those kinds of miracles, those kinds of signs, wonders, miracles that are always bunched in the New Testament are not being done today. Even though this guy, what was his name?
Reinhard.
Yeah, I can't remember that thing. Well, they brought a guy back from the dead down there in Africa. He was 3 days stinking, I guess, but I just read about that. I looked that up online, and They don't embalm, but they stuffed him full of chemicals. They said his wife brought him down, and he was in the basement, wherever the church was, and he came back to life. And I don't know why I even went there with this. I wasn't going to go with it. But anyway, he also had a trip, and it turns out he was a pastor, and he was a bad pastor. And so when he got up there, he was going to have to go to hell. And the angels told him, well, you're Lazarus, or not Lazarus, you're the rich man. You're going to go back and you're going to tell people they don't want to go here. That hell is. I mean, it goes on and on, and it's just, it's really a bunch of nonsense in that respect. So, God doesn't speak to us like that. Anyway, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, and you all probably know this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That Scripture gets bashed around with all kinds of interpretations. I'm going to give you mine, okay? So, after all, I'm here and you're there. Pardon? Yeah. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. Now, notice the same thing. This is talking about origin. This is my understanding of it and some others. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private or personal origin. And we could do a word study on that, the word interpretation. That's a bit difficult, but this is what I understand it to mean. It doesn't mean that you can't interpret the Bible or prophecy. It means that prophecy didn't come by any single individual or from one person and as a source. But instead, holy men of God spoke the prophecies as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So they got those words from God. Okay, we've pounded that one pretty hard by now. So, having done that, as they were moved by the Spirit of God, they wrote it down, and here we are with the Bible. Now, the problem we have, is illumination. And I put there the person of illumination primarily because of the Holy Spirit is the one who, you might say, teaches and instructs us. He instructs us, but we need the Word of God. You can't sit there and just say, well, Lord, I need to know this stuff. That's what church is about. That's what all your lives and all this training, and we start training our children young, hopefully, and we start pounding this in there. And even if they're not saved, some of it gets pounded in there. So, divine illumination, the Spirit's leading now in understanding Scripture, works together with man's ability to understand what is written. One of the issues in terms of, let's move it a little bit to evangelism. Does anybody know what 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, kind of just off the top? Pardon? Exactly. And if they're blinded, their minds are blinded, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So there is a satanic blindness, and I got a little bit off there. I was going to go there. When those Pharisees rejected Jesus' miracle, the blindness didn't have to do with the facts in front of them. The blindness had to do with their rejection of God as a source and as a power and as an authority. They saw what happened. That's why when they attributed his miracles, his casting out demons, to Satan, he said, that's it for you guys. You can never be saved. Here's the Son of God standing in front of them, casting out demons, and they said, you are doing it by the power of Satan. And every evidence was no way. And that's it. Now, I don't think that unpardonable sin, by the way, can be committed today just because it was a personal deal. They attributed the works of Christ while he was present to Satan. That's pretty serious. But they weren't blinded with respect to what happened. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is a problem. You talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, and it's as plain as day, right? And they don't get it, right? Because in many cases, they're blinded by that satanic blindness that has to do with opening their mind not so much to the facts. And you know, and I know, that there comes a time when sometimes you can't, you just can't speak to anybody. I'll give you a little illustration of something that happened. It's local, and I don't know really what to do about it. I was in the store, and I got talking to this lady, and she was in a little push cart thing, and she had her grandkids there, and I was looking at some cowboy stuff. I don't know what I was doing that for. A new lariat or something. And I don't know just how it came up, but she indicated that she was kind of distressed, and the grandkids were there, and we got to talking, and she said, "Do you rodeo?" And I said, "No, I don't rodeo." I said, "I gave up that stuff when I got my life changed and I got saved." Because that's kind of when I went in the ministry. Didn't do that stuff, though I got back into it now. And she said, "How'd that happen?" And so I was able to give her my testimony. And then she said, "You've got to talk to my husband." Well, what she wanted me to do that night, and they're the people, some of you in the valley will know them, that own the Blue Moon. She wanted me that night to go in there and have a Coke or something and talk to her husband in the Blue Moon. And I said, "You know, I'm not going to do that." I said, "Number one, is my reputation is too important. But I said, furthermore, I said, that's no place, that's no atmosphere to be doing that." And I need to do something about it, I guess. But she said, "No, you just need to come in there and then I'll come over and introduce you. And then we'll trap this guy." I mean, she didn't say, "We'll trap this guy," but that's what she said. But what I said about Jesus Christ and God, it went right over the top. It just went... Now, maybe something will come from that. But it's just like... And you're like, it's so easy to see. But anyway... We're done. Well, anyway, you have had, I'm sure, maybe not just like that, but those kinds of things. And there's a blindness that isn't related to the facts. People know Jesus died on the cross. They know the history says he was buried. Now, a lot of them don't believe that. Some believe it, but they still don't trust him. And our theology and viewpoint is that that's where the elective power of God in the process comes in, and he begins to work in a life and a heart. Don? Right?
So 2 Timothy 3:5 comes in, having the form of godliness but denying the power of God.
Mm-hmm. And that has to do with many religions and things like that. Sure.
We're not all harvesters at one time. You know, some of us plant, some of us water, and then we enter in, the harvester will enter in on your labor.
Right.
Whatever. I think we as Christians, we always want to be the harvester.
Maybe some. I mean, I'm not so much there. I could give you an illustration of that. Out at Marion, there was a man that came, wasn't you, Don, but it's kind of, he was out there at the lake, and I met him. I met him and got to talking to him, and he was a real technical guy. And I sensed well, here's where some people you can't talk to about God and Christ, but I could him. And I went back to his little store, when it used to be a little store in the lake, and I went back there and I'd get a hot dog. And we'd talk, and he was a dyed-in-the-wool Catholic, gone 12 years to parochial school and stuff. The way I first met him was Ben Westfall and I were calling one night and went to his door and asked if we could just visit with him. And his wife said, well, I'll go ask him. And she came back and said, no, but you can come back next Monday. And he told me later, he said, I was laying for you guys. I mean, this is the guy that has all this. And he was involved in it. He's an engineer. Well, I worked in research and development in Canada to keep us alive for 9 years and worked for the U.S. military through a roundabout way and did a lot of research and development on combustion systems. So I wasn't totally dumb with respect to his things, but we got down to something, and he said, I don't believe anything I can't see. And I said, you can't see electricity. He said, well, I can too. I can see it right in the scope. I said, no, what you're seeing is an image that's produced by something, but you don't see the electricity. Do you know that one thing sort of turned him? He said, I've never had a preacher talk to me like that. He told me this afterwards. And so we kept working with him and dealing with him. And one day he came to the church at Marion there. And he came in and he was troubled. And I was there. And he sat down in that front pew. And he just went, Almighty Father. And he just looked up. And I believe he was saved at that instant. But here's what I'm saying about that. His son is a pastor, got saved back in New York. And his son told me that when my dad moved out to Montana, I thought it was all over. Now, and what you're saying, you see, here I was, we'd just come down from Canada. This guy came out there, God shoved us together. And I haven't had many experiences like that. I've not had a lot of big soul-winning successes and things. But that's what you're saying. And his son just said, I couldn't believe it. My dad gets saved. He goes out there and way away, and he gets saved. Well, anyway, maybe that's what you're talking about. And he actually went back to his church in Honeyoy, New York, and preached for him back there. And what a deal. But God does do that. And brings us, so I don't deny that. Well, we got kind of off where we were going, but anyway, I trust that you let the Bible and the Holy Spirit's power work and be strong. And as you go through life, day by day, as we live, just be trusting Him, and He'll give you some strength. And thanks for the opportunity to speak these things to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for the promises that are ours. And we pray that you'll work in the lives of people that are just maybe on the edge. They're thinking about you. They're thinking about their lives. They need to be saved. And you can bring us into their sphere or whatever and help us with those things. And then help us with our own lives as we live. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.